Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Prime's exclusive wild-card playoff game is Saturday night. Jordan Love and the Packers take on Caleb Williams and the Bears. Not a Prime member? Sign up for a 30-day free trial to stream the game.
That's going to be caught for the touchdown.
NFC North rivals square off in the latest chapter of the NFL's oldest feud. The Packers and Bears in Prime's exclusive wild-card playoff game. Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, only on Prime. Sign up for a 30-day free trial today. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Welcome back, Take Command, Logan Paulson and Grant Paulson. All right, before we get into some of the options for the next offensive coordinator here in Washington, what this should look like, how they should try to help Jaden Daniels, and what the best way forward is, I'm really curious about this, and I think your insight on this, Logan, is particularly helpful because I don't know that anyone else in the market like knows it like you do and can drill down in this way. So if a team were to call you, okay, and they were to say, I want to know, like, what are the three biggest strengths of Cliff's offense? And what are three significant weaknesses or areas you wonder about? What would you say? And I bring this up because it is the most unique offense maybe in the league that he runs. Nobody else runs it. We're talking about a no huddle rate, which is, you know, a little bit of a muddy statistic, but that is like 50% higher than anybody else's. We're talking about shotgun versus under center discrepancy that is the largest in the league. Like, he is very unique and one of a kind in how he operates. There are really good things about it. We've seen it. We saw it last year. And then there are some things you've talked about, a couple of them, like the protection thing might show up here. But what are three things that you go, I'm just not sure about this? What would you say to this GM that's asking for your input?
About the Cliff offense in general,
yeah,
you're saying?
Like favorite three things, least favorite three things.
Yeah, so what I'd say my favorite thing is that it really does a good job of helping the quarterback, right? And so, again, like I think it's going to sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I think it exposes the quarterback more. It leverages the quarterback's decision-making ability to check into the right looks at the line of scrimmage a little bit more. But in terms of being able to see a defense, like I can't think of an offense that's better for that, right? You're never in a huddle. You're kind of in this muddle huddle. You get to line of scrimmage. You have literally 30 to 40 seconds, depending on how long you want to take at the line of scrimmage, to see how the defense is aligning. So that gives you a bunch of different things. It lets me find my best matchup. It lets me diagnose coverage at a very, very high level. And again, when you're playing teams that play into that skill set of this offense, like I think it's very obvious how effective they could be. Think about the Chargers this year. Think about the Bears. Think about multiple games last year where like teams fall into the strength of the offense versus teams that are going to do what they do, right? Minnesota, Seattle, right? Like they're going to kind of play these weird affiliate to a certain extent. We're going to play these match coverages. We're going to disguise. We kind of know the game you're playing, and we're going to manage our defense accordingly. It becomes a little bit more challenging. But I think in terms of strength, that's got to be top of the list. And so when you talk to, you know, like some quarterbacks that have been in this offense, that's one of the things they immediately say is it lets me see it really well, and I know what the defense is doing when they're playing the game the offense wants to play. So that's number one. Number two is, I think, again, to this, it kind of falls in this other line. It lets me find significant matchups. Like if you're in man coverage, and again, I have all this time to look, I look out and I say, oh, here's Terry, here's whatever. I like this matchup. Let's let it rip. And then the other thing too, when done effectively, it creates really effective box structures for the run. Because when we get in these wide bunches, wide splits, like I remember the first time we saw this offense versus New York last year.
I was going to say,
New York was literally like 4-3. All guys are moved from the box. It's a five-man box with a five-man blocking surface, and you're just running to hit your head on the goalpost, right?
A few weeks ago, I'm trying to remember which game it was, they did this thing where they like split a stack out like on the chalk. You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I can't remember which game it was. It was Christmas or what. But they send three out, and now you've got one to the other side, and it's like the whole middle of the field is wide open. Now the next time they didn't defend it the same way. But like – yeah, there is an element of that. That's actually a good strength to this.
So I think that's one of the things that I actually really appreciate about it. Because like one of the things about condensed sets and condensed formations is it becomes really hard to diagnose what the defense is in. They can disguise for a lot longer because they don't have to defend hash to hash, right? Everything's right there in front of you. Now, the advantage of that is that we can get people blocked up and get whatever and work that play action shot. But the thing about Cliff is like when they spread you out, man, it's like, I know what we're doing. And I, as a center, right, offensive lineman, I can get this targeted really cleanly because there's four guys here. There's five guys here. I can easily see who the secondary run support player is. So I think those are probably the three things. Quarterback can see it, find matchups, and then the space it's able to create. And then this is the fourth thing, is when you are going actually hurry up, it really, really, really simplifies what the defense wants to do and can do. And that's another point I think that was a little bit interesting this year in terms of watching Cliff's offense is that superpower was negated because of how slow they kind of went at times, right? They were kind of working substitutions. You could tell they were trying to manage game flow, quote unquote. And when you're doing that, you get more complicated pressures. You get more complicated disguises.
Why were they doing that? Was that to be more complimentary to help the defense? Was that because of personnel and injuries and guys not being as capable? Why was that?
I have no idea. That's something we'll have to figure out as we go on here. But that departure, I thought, was an interesting decision, quite honestly, because the thing that makes this offense so devastating, kind of like the Minnesota defense, right, is they are dictating to you. And all of a sudden, when we take our foot off the gas and we go a little bit slower, and we're not in the hurry up and we're kind of working personnel shifts and the refs holding the ball and all that kind of stuff, the defensive coordinator is like, all right, now we can run our cross dogs. We can run our disguises. We can do everything we want to do. We can get our stuff communicated. I think that's the other thing in a way. And so all the simplicity that you've built into the offense is now able to be matched in a way when you're going at a normal cadence. So those are some interesting things. But those, I think, I gave you four, but those are the four major advantages, I think, of the offense.
Okay, so now let's get to weaknesses, areas where, again, Cliff wouldn't say, hey, Logan, help me with my offense. But like, what are things that you would say, dude, I don't really get this?
Yeah, so I think it goes back to some of the stuff we've talked about before, right? Like the simplicity of the offense, right, is one of its strengths when you're going fast because the quarterback knows, the receiver knows. But when we're going slow, like defenses understand, like, basically what we're trying to do. You don't have this wide array of formations. You don't have this wide array of concepts. You don't have all these rules that you're testing with the defense, right? So a great example of this is, you know, there's that coverage bust that our defense has versus Green Bay, right? Where they motion to a 4x1, backs flat to the flat. And like, that's a very simple concept. It's basically all go, right? With the back pushing out. So it's 4x1, everyone's running vertical. In Cliff's offense, you don't really have those plays because you don't want a motion because it complicates the picture for the quarterback. You don't have the verbiage to accommodate that. And so again, that's a simple play. Everyone runs it, but instead of running it by 3x1 and pushing the back to the receiver, to the three receiver side, we motion to it. They don't get it communicated. Our defense doesn't. And there's a guy running right open in the seam. So you lose some of those kind of heat check moments or those rule check moments for the defense because it's so simple, right? And I think, again, the simplicity is an asset when executed correctly, but it's also a hindrance in some of those moments. I think the other thing, too, is running surface stuff you're not going to get a lot of complicated running surface. And it's the same thing with the pass stuff. So like, let's say I want to run power. Like if I'm Cliff, I'm going to get into 13 personnel. I'm going to, you know, kind of yo-yo motion the wing tight end. He's going to kick out. We're going to down block and we're going to go. As opposed to when you watch, you know, Green Bay, when you watch Miami, when you watch San Francisco, like they're going to get into 11 personnel, tight end attached. We're going to motion Kyle Juszczyk on a jet motion. He could be either running to the flat or we could be running Wando away. We could be running all these things, but then he stays in, he runs power and we get a double team. We pull the guard. It just makes, again, it the diversity of formation, that diversity of front, not only does it mess up people in terms of coverage responsibilities, but it also makes it challenging in terms of run fit. And I think that's something that, again, the simplicity is an asset when you are going at 1,000 miles an hour, because you know what defenses are going to do and you don't have to account that, you know, you're stressing them with your tempo. And then I think the other element too is just, I'm not saying under center needs to be the main thing of an offense, but just a slightly increased percentage I think would help with certain play action looks, right? Because you're hiding the ball. We talked about this a bunch earlier in the season, but like Miami, for example, they're in the gun a lot. They're in the pistol a lot. They hide the ball with the action of the backfield. They got the quarterback spinning. They got him reversing out. They got him pausing and hiding the football to increase the pull on the linebackers. Under center, you get that kind of naturally. The quarterback's backs to the defense. The ball's being hidden, right? They have to step up. They have to acknowledge the fake. Now, again, this kind of speaks into something Cliff is consciously making a decision to do. When you are hiding the football, the quarterback's eyes are no longer on the defense. And so when they turn around to throw the football, it's harder to diagnose what the defense is in. Cliff basically says, I think it's more advantageous to have the quarterback seeing the coverage and seeing the defense the whole time, which is definitely a school of thought. And I respect that. And you want to walk that line as closely as you can. But I do think, again, the when it's simple and when you're playing fast, the offense is awesome. But when you are not, the lack of diversity, I think, starts to pop its head up a little bit and can make it easy on defenses to fit and cover certain concepts.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
I think that's well said, yeah. I mean, the hurry-up numbers, extreme. The shotgun numbers, extreme. The lack of under-center numbers, extreme. And, you know, we've disagreed a little bit on how pertinent it is to be under-center, and that's fine. But the bottom line is, I don't think anyone would disagree. They're the only ones that do it at the percentages they do. It would not hurt to do it a little bit more. Whether that has to be how you major as opposed to minor or not, like, I'm not saying you have to do it. There's no rules of offense, in my opinion. Like, there's nothing you have to do all the time. But I do think that there are some very basic things they could do to resemble some of the really successful, sustainable offenses in this league that, for whatever reason, they haven't worked in to a greater extent.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, that I appreciate about Cliff is he really, I think, knows how to speak to players' skill sets. And so with the under-center thing, I kind of had to kick it around a couple times where it's like, how much is he doing that because Jaden Daniels doesn't like it as much, right? Like, I think that's another factor to consider is Cliff does a really good job of kind of speaking to the players and getting their input.
Well, to your point, really quick, at the end of the season, the last two games, they had their highest percentages of being under-center. And it was supposedly because, according to the telecast in week 18, Josh Johnson is comfortable under center. So that was something that came up on the broadcast on Fox.
Yeah. And so, again, sometimes I think these percentages are really skewed. You look at Jaden, did a lot from the gun in college, right? Same thing with Marcus, obviously very comfortable there. And Josh Johnson came in with Gruden, who's an under center guy, and maybe that's where his comfort level lies. And so I think that's another skill that I would point to for Kliff, just maybe not for his offense, but him as a play caller, is understanding what players can and can't do and what they like and don't like and leaning into those things as much as possible.
All right. So then let's look ahead to, you know, what this vision should be, because this is apparently where the disagreement was at this end of year conversation that led to the end of Kingsbury's time here. So what should be the plan for Jaden Daniels, and how involved, I don't want to say should he be in terms of like deciding anything. He's reportedly frustrated with the decision, according to Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports. We know his mom came out and tweeted just a couple of days ago that she was looking forward to year three of Kliff Kingsbury. So here we are now. They're going to have a new OC. Jaden Daniels is going to have a new offense to learn, a new scheme going into a critical season. How should they go about finding a fit for Jaden Daniels?
So first off, I'm going to tell you a quick story about why I think this is important. So first off, like when you're a player, sometimes you don't know what you don't know. Like I was here in 2014-15, and I got cut, and I had Wes Phillips as my coach, and I was like, man, I'm going to go to some place in Chicago, and like it's not going to be anywhere near as good as what it was here in Washington in terms of coach. Then I get to meet Frank Smith, who's one of the best position coaches that I've ever had. I've learned so much from him, right? And so as much as it is uncomfortable and different to move in a different direction and have somebody that pushes you and challenges you in a different way, sometimes you need that to help with your growth as a player and as a person. So like, I know that this is like, I know that the guys like Kliff, and I understand why they like Kliff. Like Kliff's a good dude, right? He's a smart football mind. But sometimes, again, you need to kind of be pushed to do things that maybe you're not comfortable doing by a coach who's more comfortable with those things to help you grow as a player, right? We just talked about, go ahead,
Grant. Well, and you said they don't know what they don't know sometimes as a player too. Jaden Daniels has only ever done it one way. Like he hasn't seen other ways, right? Especially in that sense. Not like you're Aaron Rodgers and you're 16 and you've had five coaches at different, you know, at the quarterback position. Like this is the only thing you've done. You don't know that the next thing might not be great for you. I mean, Caleb Williams may not have preferred to be under center and doing some of this stuff with Ben Johnson. And now he's wearing Ben Johnson's high school jersey walking into the stadium. You know what I'm saying? Like you just don't know.
And so I think that that's something that needs to be considered here. In some ways, I'm glad that Jaden is fighting for his guy, and I'm glad that they had a good relationship. But like, it's like with your kids, man. They don't want to eat the vegetables. They don't like the broccoli. They don't want to drink their glass of milk with dinner, right? But you as a parent know that they need those things to promote growth. And I think like that's kind of what I'm looking at here. It's like this is tough because again, like I think, you know, we talked about Kliff and how impressed I was with his offense last year and all the things I liked about his offense this year. And the relationships that he's built here. But sometimes these things are necessary. Like a little bit of discomfort is necessary to grow.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
So then in terms of finding a fit, would you be, if you're Peters and Quinn here, are you thinking, okay, these are Jaden's strengths currently? These are the things that he does best. Let's find someone who does those things and can amplify that. Or do you not look at it through that lens because he's going to be a different player at the end of this process? Do you go in going, I mean, if you didn't like something about Kliff, they butted heads over whatever the philosophy was, then clearly you want the other philosophy, right? So what is that? I mean, is that a more traditional run game? Is that a someone who, you know, runs the ball more frequently, that has a better protection plan against the Vikings? Like, what are they looking for, do you think?
Yeah, that's a really hard question to know, you know, and like you asked if Jaden should be involved and like, should we be speaking to his strengths? Like, I remember having a conversation with Matt Ryan in 2017, 2018 about his relationship with Kyle Shanahan, and Kyle really pushed him to do things that he didn't feel comfortable doing. And they had a very tumultuous relationship, very competitive relationship is the way that Matt characterized it. And that was Matt's best year as a player, right? And so I think you want someone who is going to have a good relationship with Jaden, but is someone who's going to push Jaden. And so I think the crux of your question is, what does that look like? And the answer is, I don't really know, right? I don't know what they're comfortable doing, because the when they brought Cliff in, I thought, oh, they're doing this in part because he's going to have some familiarity with what Jaden's done, right? So obviously, when you're making the decision to move on for the reasons that we talked about or we speculated on, we don't know for sure, you kind of say to yourself, like, well, they probably want something the opposite of that or something more traditional. And so is that going to get Jaden's under center more? Sure, but by what percentage, right? How much do you want to push him out of his comfort zone heading into the 2026? And the answer is, I don't really have a good feel. Like, I would think, and I thought this when the first coaching hire went around, you probably want someone from that Kyle Shanahan tree, right? Again, because like Dan has some familiarity with them. Adam has some familiarity with them. They run an offense that has gun principles, but also is under center. They have pistol principles, but they're also under center. So why not lean into that? But again, like, I don't know. That's what I would assume, because again, we're talking about becoming more complicated, more nuanced, more diverse. I'm assuming with the Cliff thing, more runs, more diversity of runs. And so I think like those things, that's kind of what I would look at. But again, I don't really have a good feel, man. I don't really know, like, some of the names I'm hearing, I'm like, I'm not sure that they fit that bill exactly. But again, it's so early in the process that I'm just saying what I would do, basically.
Yeah. In terms of the names, one of the names that I had thrown out there that I've heard from multiple people will be involved in the process, at least, was Brian Daboll. And just as an example, Brian Daboll's not as big a departure from Cliff as I would assume they would want to make. Not to say he's not a little more traditional in his West Coast principles and things, but I mean, this is also a guy where, you know, Jackson Dart's running around in the blue tent, right? Like, he had Josh Allen, he had Jackson Dart. If you're zigging to get away from the zagging of Kingsbury, I'd like to zig a little bit more. You know, I'd like to go further away than Daboll. That's a name that has come up. Other names to look out for include, you know, Tommy Rees, the OC with the Cleveland Browns under Stefanski, who's got the Notre Dame background. Grant Yudinski is going to be a hot commodity this offseason. He's the OC under Liam Cohen in Jacksonville. And then you mentioned there are some Shanahan disciples, namely in San Francisco, that maybe would leave to get to call plays and do some things. But yeah, the interesting thing to me is like that they've made this change, and supposedly you would think that means they want to go in a different direction. And then a couple of the names that pop up seem like, you know, maybe they're similar to Cliff in a sense. So I think it's early enough in the process. Maybe it's not worth worrying about, but I'll say this. If Daboll was hired, that would be really surprising to me, just because I don't know how different that would be.
Yeah. And I got to go back and watch more Daboll stuff, but my remembrance of him in Buffalo specifically is they were a little bit more spread, right? Like kind of 11 personnel, gun runs, quarterback run stuff. And that might have been because of what he had there. Because again, when Daniel Jones was the quarterback, and again, Mike Kafka was the OC there, is they did a little bit more traditional run game, a little bit more under center, a little bit more keepers and boots. Again, kind of easier opportunities for the quarterback. And then third down is where they kind of popped into their spread stuff like everybody else does in the league. So kind of getting a feel for like who and what he is, depending on the quarterback, I think is something that's important to note. And I also think it's kind of interesting that he, you know, kind of has a little bit of a reputation for being a guy who can develop quarterbacks. And so maybe that's why you bring him in. Again, it's still early in the process, and that name right. popped up like yesterday. So I got to go and kind of watch some more of what he used to do. But definitely an interesting hire, at least to my remembrance of what they did in Buffalo and kind of who he was when he first got to New York.
How do you think Daniels would handle being in a super traditional, or let me just say like a Shanahan offense, in terms of, like, just the under center stuff, the drop back stuff? Like, the transition would be difficult, obviously. He's just never done a ton of that. You think about Caleb Williams in training camp in the preseason and some of the conversations he was having about how hard it was to relearn how to do things and footwork and all that. Like, a lot of times you want that in year one for a guy. He's going into a critical year three. But how do you think he would fit in that type of offense?
I personally think Jaden Daniels can do anything, you know, it's just, but to your point, like, where does he have more banked reps? Where does he have more equity? It's in the spread stuff. Like, that's what he did at LSU. That's what he did at Arizona. so again, I think there will be some where if you want to get more traditional, more under center, there will be some growing pains. Like we just talked about, like it's hard to turn your back to the defense and then turn around and make a decision and throw the football. Like that can be challenging. But I also think like one of the reasons you take him second overall is because you think he can get anything done, right? Like he's a special person. He's a special competitor. He's a special student of the game. And so like, this is why I think you see him as what he is and what he can be. And like, I think there's a lot of people that think he's a special player. So let's lean into that and let's challenge him a little bit and see what comes out of this thing.
Yeah, and it's also why you should pretty much be able to get whatever coordinator you want, I would think. I mean, if you're dangling Jaden Daniels out in front of him, I don't think that many people are turning that job down. All right, let's get into the defensive side of the ball quickly next. I know that I feel bad for Joe Witt Jr. for a couple of reasons, right? I mean, number one, he's out of a gig, but like they very careful to say that they mutually parted ways with Cliff, and also we fired Joe Witt. So like that was that's tough. It just has a press release. But on top of that, nobody's talking about him leaving. Everyone kind of knew that was going to happen. But we'll get into that next on Take Command.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.